Hey, this is Cleveland Brown, and you're listening to the About Last Night podcast. I guess your TV must be broken. Haha, just kidding. Actually, I'm not kidding. You're bored.
Hey, everybody, Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. How are you? Happy Thursday. Another week, another day, another podcast. Super pumped about today's episode. Jubal Flagg is our guest today, host of Jubal and Brooke in the Morning, Movin' 92.5, the top morning radio show in Seattle, my hometown. Jubal is also a hilarious comedian. You can see him touring the country. All his stand-up tour dates at teamjubal.com, J-U-B-A-L. He's a great dude, a fascinating dude. I've known him, I think, for a good chunk. I mean, I've been listening to him for a long time on 92.5, hosting the Jubal and Brooke show. Hilarious on there, but his journey into radio and comedy is just another one of those fascinating, like, hardworking tales of, hey, man, you want some, you fucking got to figure it out and go get it. And Jubal's done that, and now he's killing the game in stand-up and radio still. So and just a hilarious episode. Just, you know, when you have a guy on that does radio and stand-up, it's like, you know, you can't have a shitty conversation. So Jubal really brought it. You guys are going to love this one. Follow Jubal on Twitter at Jubal Flagg, J-U-B-A-L-F-L-A-G-G. And, of course, his tour dates at teamjubal.com. Follow me on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy, at Funny Brad, at ALN Podcast, ALN Podcast on Instagram, Adam Ray Comedy on Instagram. Oh, shit. It's like a chopper right outside my place. Damn, can you hear that? It sounds like it's, like, right over my apartment. At first, I thought that was an earthquake, because there was a quake last night here in L.A. But, anyway, moving on. We still here. We ain't dead. Follow me on Instagram at Adam Ray Comedy, Brad Williams Comic on Instagram, AdamRayComedy.com for all my tour dates. Like I said, I'm in Lake Tahoe. Did I say that? Maybe I didn't. I'm in Lake Tahoe at the Improv tonight through Saturday. Tickets at AdamRayComedy.com. It's the Improv at Harvey's in Lake Tahoe, Nevada, tonight through Saturday. Sandy Dantel's with me. Avery Pearson, going to be a blast. Come see us. Tickets at AdamRayComedy.com. Brad Williams is in Hartford, Connecticut, tonight through Sunday at the Funny Bone in Hartford, Connecticut, tonight through Sunday. Get your tickets at BradWilliamsComedy.com or FunnyBone.com. Yeah, AboutLastNightPodcast.com. Like I said, coming at you Monday. New merch, new site. Can't wait. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Comment and rate on the iTunes page. And email us at aboutlastnightpod@gmail.com. Your favorite ALN moments, your highlights, your where you get it, how you got into it. And again, we're going to start reading those on the pod once we get the new merch and site launched. And have you guys get some free merch from your fan support. All right? Now that we've got the tour dates, Twitter handles, and merch info out of the way, sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with the very, very funny Jubal Flagg.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. It's about last night.
That's something that, as like, you forget about as a touring comic. You're just like, oh, right.
What, natural disasters?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, so you're going to Florida where they have Irma, which is about to hit.
Right.
And I just got back from Guam, which was the threat of nuclear war.
Oh, yeah, that's bad, too.
All right, you win. Jesus. Yes.
Well, no, but
you almost
died the most.
Stop complaining.
But, like, mine was a hypothetical, to be fair. It wasn't like he's launching on Tuesday. Right. Like, it's not like that.
Yeah, what would, if there was more specific,
if Kim Jong-un just flat out was like, listen, I want to see the season finale of Game of Thrones.
How dare you not do the racist voice?
Okay. I'm trying to, because
it's so un-Brad of you. Yeah, well, but one day I'm into married, you change.
One day into marrying an Asian. That's what it is. Because my wife is Chinese, so I don't want to be like, oh, you see, you're doing like a stupid American. Yeah. You know, I don't want to do that, even though I just did.
So, I think there's more, but it's almost like, you know, like I'll say in my act sometimes, if I do like a effeminate gay man's voice, and then afterwards I go, it's okay, I can do that voice. I have two gay neighbors.
Yeah.
And then, but it's like, and then that gets left because it's like, well, that doesn't mean that like, there's no way. Okay. But well, I feel like,
yeah, for me, it's like, it's okay. I have a Chinese wife, so she will punish me more than you can.
Yeah. Right.
Like,
does she judge it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
If I do it wrong, that's the thing. Like,
right.
If I'm close, then it's like, all right.
Yeah, be in the dialect world.
Yeah, because if I, like, do Chinese accent and I do that something that sounds more Japanese and now I'm starting to learn this shit. So, like, in a stereotypical Japanese accent, in a very authoritative.
That's Japanese.
There's a Japanese accent.
What's Chinese?
I can't do it.
Can or won't?
Can't, won't. I'm trying to stay married. I'm a day and a half being married. I would like to stay this thing.
Yeah.
I would like to at least beat Kim Kardashian's record of, what, 76 days? What was that?
Yeah, with who? It was something like that.
With Humphries?
With Humphries.
How much did you love... or do you love like covering those types of stories on morning radio?
It's fun.
Yeah, right.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, those type of stories are fun. The regular gossip stuff, whatever. We don't really even do that much of it on our show. Yeah. But when something like that happens, it's awesome.
Yeah,
yeah. Know? Well, when bad things happen to bad people,
yeah,
that's
always a good time.
That's just satisfying. Yeah, you don't want to hear that Chris Pratt and Anna Faris broke up. That's not fun to cover.
Everybody was like rooting for them.
Yeah,
right? Everybody liked them.
There were some people I saw post things like, I don't even know what's real anymore. Like, yeah. They're just like,
my world is devastated.
Yeah, because
it's like people, you weren't on heroin, just two people that you don't know split up.
Yeah. Well, that would have been an amazing wrinkle to the story, is like they were both strung out on heroin, and that's why.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, wow. It's like, so all that Guardian stuff, mm-hmm. that was Pratt's point of view.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like when the Earth was being created by Kurt Russell or whatever, no, that's just what I was experiencing at that time.
At that time, yeah. That's what I saw in my head.
Yeah, and the other thing that always is amazing to me about morning radio is, like, for instance, like when something happens in the news, you're a comedy show.
Yeah.
Your job is to be funny.
That's what we do. I mean, that's like strictly all we do on my show is just try to be funny. You know, because other shows, they try to be, you know, like heart-wrenching and whatever. But we don't do that at all.
You're so all comedy, all lighthearted, fun, upbeat.
All the time. Yeah. We don't try to do anything else.
Yeah, so when there's like a tragedy or like a school shooting or like something like that, are you just like, oh, fuck.
It's just, you got to write really well.
Yeah.
No, it's tough because you're like, shit, how do we address this?
Yeah, because you can't. Not
yeah,
you can't just be like, oh yeah, the hurricane that's going on, we're not gonna talk about it at all.
We'll just pretend it didn't happen.
Yeah,
especially because I have our show's syndicated, so we're on in Florida, we're on in Texas.
That's amazing.
You know,
the show's you've been doing it for how long?
About 6.5-7 years, something like that.
This show, but you've been in radio
for like 14.
Yeah,
yeah. So a long time. But
and the show we're talking about is Brook and Jubal in the Morning, 92.5, which is the top morning show in Seattle, right?
Yeah.
Come on, that's fucking incredible, man. Right. Yeah, dude.
But yeah, we're on like 35 stations now, so you kind of have to like pay attention to everywhere.
I was just gonna say, how does that change the way you view the bits you're doing or what you're talking about? Right, you're like, well, now we have a wider audience.
Yeah. Well, I kind of like wanted to build it for syndication, so we always kind of like did a broad thing. Plus,
cool. Yeah.
You know, if you look at like your Facebook page, most people aren't talking about like a local political story or something.
Yeah.
They're all kind of talking about the same stuff.
Yeah.
So
right.
We do the content the same, but like, you know, I joke around with my crew every time, because every time I go on vacation, there's always something. It's like a shooting. So I'll have to come in and like record like extra stuff. I mean, it sucks. It's not something to laugh about necessarily, but it's just like, it's like you have to pay attention to that. So it's like the hurricane in Texas, you know, like I had to go in and make sure that I recorded stuff for that station out there and for all of our stations to like ask people to donate and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
So you kind of like got to be on call all the time.
Wow.
Yeah. That's the thing, is you can't like because if someone's just on in LA, if the Dodgers are doing what they're doing right now or something, you could talk about that.
Yeah,
like you can't be like, oh well, the Seahawks just got that dude from the Jets, it's gonna be awesome.
Yeah,
like because you're on in all these different markets and like they'd be like, I don't give a fuck about
like who cares.
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
But it's kind of a challenge too, because you get like stuff like that happens all the time in the cities that we're on, so it's like, okay, well, we have to do like custom stuff for that city, for this city,
and
like we're based out of Seattle, so if you're in Seattle and the Seahawks are doing well, you gotta do something there, and then also do more content. So just like doubles the workload.
Wow. But doubles the audience, and hopefully the funds and everything.
Exactly,
and I mean, and the more, I mean, you know, and
it's,
you know, this the better than we do, but like the more, you know, ears you can get into, the better for just your
for sure
job and everything.
Yeah,
right?
And then even for me, just doing stand up, being able to go to the
how has that changed?
It's changed because I've been able to tour more, you know, which is cool. Because I can go to a market and spend like a couple of days there doing shows from their studios there, do like remotes or whatever,
dude,
or appearances, and then do shows on the weekend.
So you can go to Florida. You
yeah,
can go to
I was
Texas.
Just in West Palm. That's where you're going, right?
Yeah,
you
know, yeah.
The Improv. Yeah, I was just there a couple weeks ago.
Fuck so yeah, awesome. Dude!
It's a great club, right?
I love that club.
Yeah, and it's attached to that Copper Blue, I think.
Yeah.
And then there's a theater there. Wait, so when you're doing press, then if you're going in to do shows, are you just basically talking to yourself? Then
pretty much, yeah, interview yourself. Yeah.
Jubal Flag here from 925 doing stand up. Jubal, yeah, I'm really pumped to be here, me. Yeah. And
super excited. Can't wait to go to this. So tell me a little about yourself. You know,
You know, man, like, short interview,
yeah, because in my very brief stint, like 3.5 to 4 months in morning radio, like I wasn't getting booked in places because they're like, well, you can't do press because I had to do the show.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, for like so I would
have wow.
I don't know if you remember this, but I worked with you at the Parlor Live like
you the week before for me or hosted.
Yeah,
for
I think
me.
I was featuring for you. Or
yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it was like the week before you started.
Yeah.
Your radio gig.
Yeah, my last real road gig. And I was like, well, gonna miss this.
Yeah. Yeah, what were you feeling? I'm sure, right? You were knowing that your life and schedule.
Well, because I didn't know at that point that that the clubs wouldn't book me. I'd be like, yeah, I'm a big enough name.
Right.
I've got one special at the time, so I'm good.
Yeah.
And then they're like, no, you're not. Like, you have to come in to do press, to do TV, to do radio. And at the time, I couldn't do it. So I'm curious how you're able to navigate that.
It's tough, you know, because it's weird because, like, radio. And there's like other stand-ups who do radio too.
Sure.
And if they can't travel out to do like press and things like that, like radio doesn't really want you to grow as a comic necessarily. So they're like,
right,
you need to be in studio on this day all the time. And you're like, well, can I just go and do the show from there on like a Thursday?
Yeah.
And I'll be there Friday through the weekend.
Yeah.
And they kind of fight against it. So it's tough. But at least because we're syndicated, I have like that luxury to be able to go like, I'm going to go to this market and do like a visit in that market and then do comedy in that market.
Yeah,
too,
right. So. Yeah, and yeah, being as many markets you're in,
yeah,
you're only doing one show, but it's the show that is on constantly.
Yeah.
So they're a little more familiar with it.
It is interesting how certain jobs, and I guess I understand it, but like want to be supportive, but to a point, you know, where they're like, yeah, like go do your thing. It's so great you're doing that. And then like, but you know, like, but be here most of the time. Because this is, like when I was working at Universal Studios, and I remember, like, I started to, you know, you accumulate points. That's how you eventually get fired. Like, if you sick calls or just a no-call, no-show, that's how you eventually, if you get 13 points, you get fired. And I started to get more road work with Bobby Lee. And so I would be like, I'm not going to turn down a week. This is what I'm trying to do. So
yeah.
I guess I'm going to have to, I couldn't get the shifts covered. So 3 days in a row, and it was like 8 points. Boom, just like that. And I remember my boss being like, I mean, you just keep calling in sick, and it's almost like you don't want to be here. And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
What about
Universal Studios?
Right.
Like, I'm not trying to die as the Wolverine at Universal. I'm trying to go on the road and see what Kansas City's like and see if I can make them laugh.
Yeah.
I'm supporting the, it's, you know, the dream.
I had a situation like that. I worked at California Pizza Kitchen.
Yes.
You know, I was first like starting in radio and stand up at the same time, but like I was really getting into radio. And I worked at Fox Sports Radio at the time here in LA in Sherman Oaks. And I was like going on to the morning show, just hanging out or whatever. And so I would start calling in sick and trying to get people to cover my shift
at
California Pizza Kitchen all the time. And we had a restaurant. Restaurant managers are the worst, by the way.
I mean, dude, they're just...
Well, because, yeah, they're kind of like your Universal Studios boss, where they just assume like, no, California Pizza Kitchen is the most important thing in
this
your
is
world.
Why you were born.
Yeah.
Chaz.
Right here.
Yeah.
Thai pizza is a real thing. and people want it. And if you're not here, how are they going
to
get it?
Who's going to give it to them? Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How are they going to get a Thai pizza?
Who's going to get it?
And the restaurant managers always trip me out, too, because they make less money than the servers usually.
Right.
That's why they're so angry.
They don't make the money from tips.
They don't make the money from tips, but they think they're like on some inside track to be a general manager one day and maybe make about as
much. Is that what they're being told? So they're just underpaid assholes.
Yeah, they're underpaid a-holes the whole time.
Fuck.
So they're just angry, and they just want the title of manager for their ego or whatever.
Right, gotcha.
But I kept having to call in, and this dude, like, I went in one day and I was like, hey, I need to take off today. Like, I got my shift covered. And it was like in front of everybody. Like people there eating, and he was like, well, it seems like you want to do this radio thing more than you want to do your server job here at California Pizza Kitchen. I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really do.
I mean, how do the people around respond? Are they kind of like,
I was kind of looking like,
yeah, like what? Yeah, dude, go do your shit, man.
That's kind of like what if your guy buddy was like, it seems like you want to go have that threesome with those two Playboy models more than you want to go
play video
to my wife's baby shower. Yeah. You're like,
That is exactly
you made that point exactly for me.
I've been hanging out with those two Playboy models for a month now, hoping that they would ask me to do this. So
put in a lot of time. Don't even know your baby's name.
So I said, I'm gonna take off, and he's like, well, fine, then you're fired. And I was like, okay, cool. And then he turns around, and he's like, what? You can't. And
I was like, I didn't think you'd go for it.
It's like the guy like you like, fine, then I'm leaving.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll do it.
I'll go.
Yeah.
I'm in the doorway.
Great. Cool. I'm gonna shut this door and never come back.
And guess what? When you hear the door go, then I'm gone.
Yeah.
I'm gonna do it. Yeah, get the fuck out. You know, I'll make the noise for you before you even close it. Go. Get the fuck out.
I'm leaving right now.
Yeah. So look on his face. That's insane that he's shocked.
Yeah, he was so shocked. And then I like took off. I had my apron on. I took it off and like handed it to him. And he's like, "Are you really doing this?" I'm like, "Yeah,
dude. That's just fine. How good does that feel, by the way? Because I've fantasized about like that type of an exit from a profession.
It was awesome.
I wish I could have been like when they fired me as Wolverine. I wish I could have ripped off the claws and dropped them like I was dropping the mic at like a BET concert. You know what I'm saying?
It was pretty great. It was a good feeling.
And so then, but also that probably then propelled you into like, okay, shit, well now it is real. Like now I have no excuse to not go for it.
Now I have to do it,
And then this was...
But I also was working at the Olive Garden too, so like I...
All right, well, let's just stop right there. Let's put a pin in the radio career and talk about life at the OG.
I was going to get my carbs. It's okay.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I had them coming.
How long have you worked at the Olive Garden? Did you?
I worked there for like 2 or 3 years.
Oh my God. Start just, you know... Dear Diary is what I'm a
The Olive Garden was amazing.
Was it?
The Olive Garden.
That makes me feel great.
Yeah.
Because you hear about some of these, you know, behind the scenes stories of some of these establishments that you know, like if I heard Buca di Beppo was just like treated like had child slave labor shit going on, I'd be really bummed out. I'd be like, is that where all that family style ravioli comes from?
That's not olive oil, that's children's tears. What? No, Buca, no.
Yeah, that's one of the kids' names. What was that like?
Working at the Olive Garden was fun, man. It was cool. I actually enjoyed that. I worked at like restaurants all
that was your,
like, you know, I worked at, you guys remember the Islands?
Yes. Yeah. Remember Islands Burgers?
Yeah. So I worked at Islands and then Olive Garden at the same time. And then I had a third job and that was CPK.
Fuck.
Was
all dude, you were this. Grinding.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow. So that must be so insane for you now, because when you're in the service industry, you're pretty much at the beck and call of like the customers. And even if they're dumbasses or they're dicks to you, you kind of just have to take it if you want to keep the job. But now you're in world stand-up and radio where it's like, oh, no, you got the microphone. Like, you're talking back at them.
Like, you're in charge now.
Yeah, and if a caller calls in and, like, disagrees with you, I mean, you can't tell them to fuck off because it's terrestrial radio, but, like, you could insult them, make them look stupid, hang up on them, and then that's only going to make your ratings go higher.
Exactly. So like, that's why I'm good at it. It's just like all that pent-up aggression from being a server for so long.
Like, it's like why did you call me a CPK waiter? I have no idea. Sorry. A little
it just came out.
Yeah. It's been pent up.
The Olive Garden, was that like a very it seems like almost like a mini fraternity. Like, it seems like a young, like, fun. Like, people are like, I don't know. The vibe always seems like people are like, yeah, dude, we're going to work. We're going to fucking have some fun. Then we're going to get fucked up.
Yeah. That's pretty much what it's like. Dope. I mean, all restaurant life. But Olive Garden was like that. I don't know why it was such a weird, like, fraternity of people.
Yeah.
But it was like, we're all in the same. We're all back there. We the best part about it was if you order soup and salad and breadsticks at the Olive Garden.
Yeah.
And then you pay with cash.
Yeah.
They pocket that cash.
Really?
You can pocket the cash. Most of them do it. We did it.
So do you encourage it? Like, hey, soup, salad, and breadsticks?
Yeah.
It's the best thing on the menu. Like, I order it every time.
Yeah. And I would be like, are you guys going to pay with... Just checking our stuff. Are you guys going to pay with a credit card? They're like, no cash. I'm like, all right, sweet. Because you don't have to... You get that yourself, and you don't have to ring it in. And
yeah.
You know how much it costs, so if you can make the change in your head, you just make the change.
That's amazing.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So that's a little secret.
What any crazy stories or people like... anyone literally try to... Like, Never Ending Pasta. I have a bit about that in my... and I was like, you know, you mean I can pay $8 and eat spaghetti forever? I was super baked when I found out that deal.
Right.
So I was like having a mini panic attack. Has anybody ever tried to, like, I don't know, stay there from, like, 10 to 5 and be like, more breadsticks, please.
I never had that happen, but we did have a drunk dude try to steal, you know, those big wine bottles that they have?
Oh, yeah. Oh, they're huge.
They're like, sit around. He tried to steal one of those. He was hammered. And like, he was leaving.
You said we were family.
He grabbed it and ran out in the...
I steal liquor from my family. Yeah, exactly. It's cool.
You've changed. Yeah.
He ran out in the parking lot with it, and we ended up like chasing him down to get it from him. We're like, why? It's full of water anyway. Like, it's not full. Should just let him take it.
There are times when you work in one of those jobs. Like, I remember when I worked at Hot Topic, and yeah, I did. Because they're like, well, he doesn't have piercings, tattoos, gauges, but he is a midget. That's pretty weird. Yes. Okay, yeah. All right, you can
make
here.
It an Hot Topic.
Yeah. Right. So when I worked there, like, I remember one dude like shoplifted a Motorhead T-shirt, and like he just grabbed it and like didn't try to like hide it
right.
at all. Just like. Grabbed it and booked it, and like the manager was in the back, I was working up front as the greeter, and she like yelled at me, stop him, and I'm like, no. I'm not, no, hey, you're telling the midget to hop in front of the Indiana Jones boulder running at me right. with the fucking Motorhead t-shirt, so you know he's aggressive.
Yeah, and, automatically,
you know?
He's aggressive.
I mean, if someone got like a Pretenders shirt or Backstreet Boys shirt,
you might be all right.
Taylor Swift shirt, all right, maybe I'll throw a shoulder block. But Motorhead, fuck that, take it. I'm not risking my life to stop the company from making $6.99.
Yeah, that dude gets punched in the face every time he goes to a concert.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like, he's moshing on his way out.
He's rough. There. Like, he has the Triple H theme song, which is done by Motorhead, playing in his head mm-hmm. at the same time. It's like, I am the game. It's like he's from Ace of Spades. Fuck that midget. Uppercut. Like, I'm not getting in the way.
Yeah, and now he's got a story to write on his Motorhead fan blog.
They all have one too.
Yeah, I care.
And by the way, I love Motorhead. So yeah, I know they all have one. Fucking great.
And you're from LA.
Yeah.
So how great is it? Because you just came back. I remember when you came down here and your girl were looking for places.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then that was about.
It was about
a year ago.
Yeah. So now I'm back and forth between Seattle and here. So I'm in studio a lot in Seattle, and then I'm here a couple weeks out of the month too. So I'm just back and forth all the time. But it's great.
She's down here permanently?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
cool.
She's down here permanently. So it's cool to be back though, because I mean I grew up all over the place, but mostly in LA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's awesome.
It's an amazing full circle moment too, to be able to like come back when you're like now killing it, and it's like, and to have the luxury also, and tell me why you're. Because when you came down here, you could do the show remotely, right? Like
right,
in a studio. But then you're going back. Why? Just because you still want to get that in-studio feel every now and then, or what?
Yeah, to do that, do videos, things like that, appearances, stuff
that,
like that.
And if you're doing radio in a city, if that's your main city, then the fans kind of want to know that you're a part of them. You know,
exactly.
And that you know... So you know what it's like to go to the local hangouts and see the concerts and stuff like that.
And it's a close flight, right? That makes it somewhat easy.
2-hour flight, so it's super easy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a cool city, you know what I mean? It's nice to be able to split time between two great places.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, at least it's Seattle.
Yeah.
It's not...
Like
it's
Omaha.
We love Omaha.
We love Omaha. The Omaha Funny Bone is a fantastic club.
Home of Adam Devine.
I love you, Colleen. we're good.
Yeah.
But, no, totally. And most radio guys I talk to, they jumped around to like a lot of different markets before they finally like got settled into the market where they were the most successful. Was that the same with you?
Not really.
Oh, cool.
I started, like I said, at Fox Sports.
And doing what?
Right here in LA?
Yeah. I was like a weekend kind of board op guy.
Okay.
Well, I should actually go back. I started in Stockton, California. Was where
right.
I really started.
Wow.
I went to a radio school.
The Vegas of Northern California.
Yeah, it is the worst. I say this hesitantly because it's full of convicts, but it is the worst city in Los Angeles.
John Stockton must be so pissed.
Right.
He's like, God, I mean, like, they're like, are you honored that there's a place named with the same? He's like, it's not after me, motherfucker.
No.
And by the way, it came first. It was shitty.
Yeah.
I did a lot with the name.
He's like, it should be called the Ostertag, California.
Good. Utah Jazz Poll.
Yeah,
because you'd be like, I have to.
Well, who's a shittier jazz?
You know? It had to be relevant.
Yeah.
Where like people would know it, but not too good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You couldn't have said.
But also the name of a place where you're like, you're going to Ostertag?
Oh, yeah.
Ugh. It just sounds hot. Because
it was a bet? Yeah, it sounds hot and sweaty and tall and European.
I'm just saying, that's a great joke because you could have gone like Jeff Hornacek and it wouldn't have worked as well.
No, not at all.
So you had to go Ostertag.
Guess what? Hornacek is a successful coach.
Exactly.
He had a great jump shot.
Right.
He probably looked like he got some like. I don't know.
He had gray hair.
He probably had a lot of married chicks being like, I would love to make a mistake with you.
Yeah.
You not know, Ostertag. No, not Ostertag.
He looked like he just got off the couch every time.
Just, actually, that's what you say when you roll off the couch.
Ostertag.
Wait, so Stockton was not ideal.
Not ideal at all. So it's I was actually trying to get into stand-up and radio kind of at the same time. I wanted to do wanted to do open mics and stuff like that, but I could never get in front of a microphone. Like, I was super nervous. And then I saw an ad on TV for the Academy of Radio Broadcasting in Huntington Beach, California.
Okay, and you're like,
it's probably still around. I was like,
I get to leave Stockton?
Yeah, well, that was before Stockton.
Oh, okay.
And so I was like, all right, well, maybe if I learn to like talk in front of a mic, it'll help me like with my, get over whatever fear it is I have of just doing it.
Genius, of course.
You know? And so I went there, and I wasted money to go to a radio school, but whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately.
And then from there, I had made a demo tape, and then I went to Stockton.
Gotcha.
And I was on this AM radio station in Stockton, which nobody listened to, because it was an AM music station. You know, and it was huge back in the day, like in the
AM's 70s. AM's typically talk, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And, but in the 70s, it was like the big station in town. So the people that still worked there still thought it was the 70s, you know?
Oh, shit. And I was still dressed like it,
dude. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was there for like 6 months. I was like, dude, my career is going to go nowhere in radio because I can't even make a demo to send to places. And then when I send it to them, they're like, where? What? Doing AM music? No.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'll just go back to LA. And I went back, and then I got a job at Fox Sports. And I was there, and then from there I went up to Seattle because I was like a producer of the morning show.
Oh, cool.
Producer guest booker of the morning show that the network they just launched. It was an awesome job.
In Seattle?
No, that was in LA.
In LA, okay.
Fox Sports.
Fox Sports, yeah.
And that's something that a lot of people that have heard that got into radio, like people think like you just show up and they give you the microphone. It's like, no, a lot of guys had to be a program director, or not necessarily program director, but like a board op,
right?
Or a producer,
yeah,
or just even an intern or whatever, and then move your way up and then like they let you do overnights on Saturdays sometimes, and then it just slowly happens.
And that's why so many people bounce around so much, because you have to move to try to get jobs to move up, And so I was at Fox Sports for a while. That was a fun gig though, because I was like the guest booker for the show. And then a producer.
So you were calling Greg Ostertag and be like, we need you on the show?
Calling Greg Ostertag, calling up athletes in their hotel rooms, waking them up, trying to convince them to come on the show.
Were you really?
Yeah, it was awesome.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah. So what do you do when you call up Shannon Sharp and he's not in the mood to talk?
You tell him, this is how it goes. So you find the hotel room somehow. Like, you know kind of where they stay.
Yeah.
And then you know some of their aliases. But also, there's certain ways, like sometimes the person at the front desk doesn't know that there's an alias or that has to go through anybody. So sometimes they'll send you through. You'll get lucky. And you get them on the phone. Like, you get Shannon Sharp on the phone. You're just like, hey, Shannon, what's up, man?
What's up, man? What's going on?
How's it going? This is Jubal from Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, hell yeah, man.
We had a scheduled interview for right now.
What time is it?
It's 7:30 in the morning.
Damn, man. That's early. I haven't even gotten my eggs yet.
I know. I was surprised you scheduled it for this time, too. But
I'm just going to talk to you.
I'll throw you on real quick.
And
then boom, you're on hold and you're on the air.
Wow.
Exactly.
They wouldn't be booked.
No, they wouldn't be booked at all.
But then with these athletes, like,
they're conditioned to know, like, maybe I did have one.
Yeah.
Did you talk to Denise?
Yeah. Yeah, I did.
Denise. Well, I thought she didn't tell you I wasn't down. Yeah. I wasn't. It's like, well, you picked up.
They get mad and you're like, well, I don't know how I would have your room number, man. Like, she gave me the number to get through. So,
wow. Like,
can I just throw you on real quick? Like, five minutes.
What percentage of the time did that work?
I would say 80%.
Wow.
Shit.
Yeah, it worked.
Wow. We got to start calling some hotels.
Yeah, do you mind if we borrow that
podcast?
Trick?
That's amazing. My God. You got to schedule an interview.
How'd you get my home number? Not important.
Yeah. Robinson Cano, you're on with the About Last Night podcast.
Oh, like, my God.
What?
Wait a minute. What did you ever have people that were like, fuck that, man. It's 7:30. Click.
Yeah, I had that happen quite a bit. You know,
and you don't call back, do you?
Sometimes you call back. I would call back. I would call back and try again.
Relentless.
The PR person for the Red Sox hated me because I would do that to them all the time.
Just call Omar.
Yeah. And then they
like, you woke up, Omar.
And they would call me like, what the fuck are you doing calling our people? I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, it's just like,
just play dumb.
When you're doing that, it's like, it's the biggest lying game ever. It helps you stay on your toes, though.
Well, that, and but you know that the PR people and those kind of people are lying to you guys all the time anyway, when, like, because they say, oh yeah, he'll be there for the interview, and then how many times guys cancel on you the last minute.
Of course, Wade Boggs would love to go to the Baskin Robbins ribbon cutting.
Exactly. And then you talk to him like, he really wants to be here, but
it's just, he's still drunk.
Yeah. This was so important to him, though. This was so important.
He's trying to get Boggs beer off the ground.
And he just keeps drinking it.
He's also got another idea called Boggs Boggle. It's basically the game Boggle, but he put his name in front of it.
Yeah, it's just the, it's just the letters that spell out Boggs. So it really limits the amount of words that it can really be. Like, you got Sog, and that's about it.
Yeah, it's quick. Wait, so then they must have been pumped then that you were able to get that. So what does that do for you if you can get that many people? Like, they see you, and they're like, all right, now time for a promotion, or like...
I mean, you could get a promotion if I wanted to keep going with sports radio. Yeah. Like, when I first got into radio, I wanted to do sports radio.
Okay.
That's what I wanted to do. So I was like, this is perfect. You know, eventually I'll transition to, like, update anchor and then maybe get a show. Mm-hmm. But then after...
Like a sports center type guy.
Yeah. And then I wanted to have, like, a sports talk show or something.
So being in front of the camera was always...
Yeah.
And just performing.
Right, right.
Has always been a part of the plan.
Always, yeah. But when I was around sports radio, I was like, dude, no fucking way. Because they know so much... Like
that's what I forget too.
Yeah, the really good ones.
It's
crazy. There's,
we all know sports, right? Yeah. And you feel like you know. It's so easy. I was just talking to Michelle Beadle about this, and she was like, "So many people sit down."
Name dropper.
Well, she came to the show, and she was talking. Yeah. She was talking about how she wanted to get up and like do stand up.
Yeah.
And she was like, and I was like, well, I mean, you are really funny, and like you're comfortable on stage. And I was like, you know, but there is that, like, obviously writing and whatever. There's, you know, a lot of other stuff that goes into it. But she goes, you might probably hate that because so many people tell me all the time, like, I bet I could be a sports broadcaster or a sports, analyst. And I'm like, yeah, I was literally just about to say that to you about me because I feel like I could. And I'm like, but the difference is I feel like you actually, like, again, like, have a good sense of humor. Like, her show too is so conducive to, like, quick and the writing and whatever. But I'm like, for me, I feel like then I think about it, I'm like, I probably would be able to do, I don't know. It would just seem like I wouldn't know as many facts and it would get exposed right away.
Yeah,
or have enough analysis that made sense.
And the sports radio audience, they're ruthless. Like, if you get anything wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Think about the chastising we do of, like, Stephen A. Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, and he knows.
Everybody knows Tom Brady's favorite cereal is not Cocoa Puffs. You asshole.
Yeah, I hate you.
I will have your head.
Yeah.
They are a passionate group, to say
they're
the least.
They're merciless.
Who did you want to emulate? Like, who'd you look up to in that world that you were like, that's the type of show or
I mean, I always liked Jim Rome.
Yeah.
You know? Well, I always liked him. Just kind of his, like, attitude I liked.
Yeah.
And there's something to be said about guys, like, whether it be Rome or Colin Cowherd or whatever, but just guys that have opinions.
Yes.
That aren't just saying what happened in the game.
Yeah.
But why did that happen?
And
where's that going?
That's what I wanted to do.
And
that's
even if it's crazy, even if the opinion is crazy and wrong, it's still an opinion, and it gets people talking.
I swear
to God, there's no way Skip Bayless believes everything he says.
I hope there's no way.
He cannot.
Dude,
be
you're still doing a TV show that, like, needs ratings and clips and sound bites. So it's like, I wonder at what point did we, and you know, there's probably one person that's at the, you know, the forefront of the movement of, like, oh shit, now we need to, like, heighten, you know, like, that Stephen A. Smith came from some, you know, like, seeing some other people be like, oh shit, that's like, that guy's really opinionated,
right?
And maybe that's a way to get more viral attention, is to, like, just be so
just
over the
to
top
be opinionated. And say, well, because in sports the sports world, like, there's so many people that are on guard because they don't want to upset anybody. Even what I always hated growing up in LA was the Dodgers broadcasters. I know people, like, they're legendary broadcasters. Obviously, Vin Scully.
Vin Scully, Rick Monday, and
Ross Porter.
Ross Porter has the third one.
Everybody's Ross Porter. But they wouldn't, like, their whole thing was because LA's full of transplants and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
They didn't want to, like, overly root for the Dodgers. And I was like, fuck that. You're in LA. Mm-hmm. You're the Dodgers broadcasters. Like, you should cheer and get excited when they do something. And that always bugged me because in the sports world, with a lot of broadcasters, you can't be a homer and you can't give your opinion. You can't get too excited. And so people are scared to do that. That's why I like the guys that do give their opinion.
I love the homer broadcasters. Like,
me too.
Like, the guys that get passionate about it. And that's why, like, when you watch, like, football on Sundays, that's the national broadcast. So they don't have a dog in the fight. Yeah. They're just trying to call it right down the middle because they know the gambling guys are watching and both fans are watching. But yeah, you love listening to those home radio calls.
Yeah. Raiders dude is amazing.
Is he?
Yeah. I mean, they could be losing 50-0 or something. Yeah. And they get one touchdown and he's just like, touchdown, Raiders!
It's like, no. Every time.
Every time. Yeah.
How did you feel about growing up with Well, so you got to Seattle at what point then? And I know we're jumping around a lot, but
I think it was like 2004.
Okay,
if my timeline is
all right. So you still got Dave Niehaus and
yeah, yeah.
and a year of Calabro, maybe mm-hmm. right, or a couple years.
Couple years,
yeah,
for sure. Yeah.
So I mean,
those guys are good.
Come on, right? Great, like yeah. I'm sure everyone's biased, but I feel like Calabro. And look, ESPN asked him to do shit like yeah. for big games, so yeah. it makes sense that like.
No, he was great. He is great. And yeah. then
Niehaus was, come on, the greatest,
Niehaus
right?
Niehaus was really good. Yeah, I like him. I mean, and his calls, like the my oh my.
Yeah.
Like, was amazing.
Are there guys in Seattle the broadcast world that you were able to, I don't know, learn from or get to know just before you got into 92.5 there that maybe like gave you advice or like what was your kind of into Seattle?
Well, I got into Seattle as like the third mic slash producer on a show. It was on the Kiss FM station out there.
Speaking of down the middle.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
This is straight from LA. So the Fox Sports thing yeah. runs its course and you're like, time to move.
Right. Well, I got fired.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. But it was like...
What'd you do? Did you wake Shannon Sharp up?
Too many like, times.
Did you steal a bottle? Did you steal a giant bottle of wine water?
Yeah. Like, I ran out of the parking lot with the wine water.
Yeah, yeah.
No, it's dumb. It was a timesheet violation. It's a long story. It's a really boring story. Okay. But so I got fired for cause for that.
Basically, think Office Space and TPS yeah. reports.
Yeah, yeah, kind of.
God.
So I got fired for that. And then I was just looking for another job. And then I was just doing stand-up at the time. And I had done like Triple Run. You know, nothing, yeah. you know, I was just
for those who don't know, Tribble Runs, there's a booker whose last name is Tribble who sends comics on the most obscure places, yeah. mostly in the Pacific Northwest,
yeah.
that are just like, all right, you're doing a biker bar in Hemet.
Yes.
And you're like okay. What?
Okay. Yeah,
okay. Do they have stand up there? They do tonight.
Mm-hmm. Winnemucca, Nevada or whatever.
Yeah.
They put you up?
Huh?
They put you up?
Yeah, and I did a little bit of that, but I wasn't making any money.
And you also still were like, even though you got fired, you were like, all right, that's not the end of my radio career.
I still wanted to do it, yeah. so I was trying mm-hmm. to get back on the air, and I sent out demos everywhere, and then finally I was able to get on in Seattle on that show. And I was more of a producer than anything, and they liked the fact that I could book guests, because they did a ton of guests.
Right. Yeah.
But were they
number one at that time?
Yeah, they were number one at that time, I think, or close to it at
yeah.
least. Mm-hmm. And then I was there for about 6 years, 6.5 years. And I was like, you know what? I'm kind of done with this. Because the show that I was on was cool, whatever, but I'd been there for a long time and I wasn't able to move up and I wanted my own show. And I was like, I'm just going to move back to LA and just do stand-up. Because mm-hmm. this is like, I mean, I can't grow.
You put in time yeah, and yeah. yeah.
Well, that and like, sports broadcasting and morning radio, like if they're number one, they're not moving.
They're not changing anything.
And they're not. And it's not like sports where it's like, well, he's getting into his 40s.
Yeah,
like
no.
You can be a morning radio show guy and be good yeah. in your 70s. Exactly. Like it's.
I think Rick Dees was like,
oh god,
a corpse.
Yeah, like, for at least the last 10 years.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
and still on the air.
Yeah.
So though, yeah, and as we saw with Vin Scully was the announcer for the Dodgers for over 60 years.
Yeah.
He was the announcer when they were still in Brooklyn. So it's mm-hmm. like those slots don't always open up.
Yeah, no, they don't. And if you're good and you're number one, you're staying there. So
yeah.
I had been emailing demos to the program director who was on the other station, 92.5, which is where we're on in Seattle, for
yeah.
like a year at that point. Like, just let me on. Mm-hmm. And then my co-host, Brooke, her co-host had left. So there was an opening. So I went and recorded with her, and then they hired me on. And
wow.
We've been there for 6 years.
There you go.
Wow, yeah, so. Dude.
But that's the thing. The co-hosting spot opened up.
Yeah.
And you were ready for it, you know?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
everything you'd done to that point, I feel like, in anything, I think just prepares you.
Yeah, just getting ready.
What was that? I mean, were you nervous for it? Were you like, shit, man, this is like, it's mine to lose, basically, right? Like, I need to crush this and they'll...
Pretty much,
or did you
yeah.
feel, were they pretty hot on you at that point? Were they like, oh, shit, this is actually... Or do they say like, all right, like, we're seeing other people. Like, what was the...
Well, they kind of like... they were hot on me at that point. They were yeah. like, okay, we know if we bring you in, hopefully that's the right move.
Yeah.
Because they do like all this market research and stuff, you know? And then the market research, I was testing really well with people.
Cool.
So they were like, we'll bring you over and hopefully that'll bring some audience over.
Yeah.
And it took a while. It took us about a year to hit our stride. But once we did, you know, like the ratings and stuff like took off. And I think record setting in
now,
Seattle. So it's...
Holy shit.
Yeah.
What do you think makes good radio? Because, and especially now when a lot of people say radio is dead. Personally, right. I don't believe radio is dead. I think bad radio is dead.
I think bad radio is dead.
Yeah, because now you have options. Yeah. Now you don't have to listen to Chuck and Fuck in the morning. Although, although Fuck is still pretty funny.
Fuck
is
Chuck's lost his edge. Yeah.
Chuck's. Yeah,
he got married. Got kids.
He ain't what he used
to be. Talking about his dog. All the
but
time.
Like, yeah, but like, you don't have to listen to them. Whereas, you know, 10-15 years ago, you only had six options in the morning.
Yeah.
Now you have like, oh, you can listen to one of the 2.5 billion podcasts there are out right. there. You can listen to Pandora. You can listen anything and everything on Sirius.
Yeah, so many options now. I think you have to be better, you know, and you have to be good. And a lot of people in radio hate the syndication stuff because, of course, people lose their jobs. Right. Like when we go into a market, somebody probably has to lose their job for us to go on there.
Because they're doing their morning show, and then they have to be called in the office one day and say, hey, we're getting Jubal in from
Seattle. And then they're like, whoa, this show from outside of the market, how are they going to... The thing is, like, just if you're funny, it's kind of universal.
It translates
everywhere.
Yep. Yeah. Funny always wins.
Yeah, and that goes for stand-up as well. People are like, how are you funny in the South and the Pacific Northwest right. and New York? It's like, you're just funny.
You're just be funny.
Performing for people.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. We're all humans.
You guys have created some, like, incredible, like, bits on the show.
Thanks.
Yeah, and I want to know, like, when, like, did you sit down... I mean, from Second Date Update, and I've told you, I think it's that the one that my dad, because my dad lived in Centralia for like 4 or 5 years, and now that he's just in the Northwest, I mean, he is just obsessed, and there was one, I don't know if it was that one or the, I think it was that one, the Second Date Update that he was obsessed with, and he would literally call me every day and just tell me everything that happened on it.
Oh, that's awesome.
How do those... But I mean, awkward Tuesday phone call, loser line, like Brooke's 60 Second Sleaze. Like, how do you guys come up with all these?
I mean, a lot of those are hacky radio things that have been done. You know, like they do them everywhere. The Second Date Updates kind of do them everywhere.
Gotcha.
You know, Ryan Seacrest, I think, does them here.
Gotcha.
And the Ryan, or the War of the Roses type stuff or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I think...
But you're putting your own spin on it.
Yeah. I think the difference is who you have doing it, you know? And if also the editing. Because, you know, you can't take these calls live. I mean, it's super boring. If you do, or something bad
super
can happen.
Risky, yeah.
So right.
The editing is really important, and we spend a lot of time editing them to make sure that the best stuff is there, you know? And I think that's kind of the divide in radio is, like, people who do this kind of stuff, they kind of just want to, like, get it done, edit it, get out the door. But, you know, me and my producers stay there. My producers stay there till like 4 or 5 in the afternoon.
Wow.
Getting the show ready for the next day. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and that was the thing that I didn't realize when I did my brief stint in radio, where it's like, oh, I thought you just got there at 5:30, half hour before the show, did the show from 6 to 10, and then went home.
Some people do,
yeah,
you know, and some people are still successful and do it, which I'm very jealous of,
right?
But like, I'm there till usually like 2. I get in about 5:30, and I'm there till about 2.
Yeah,
and the other guys stay there till who knows when. I don't know when they go home, but
yeah, because you gotta fill.
Yeah,
I mean, when it's pretty daunting when you think about it, like, yeah, it's 4 hours of talking. Yeah. Like, yeah, you're not talking straight. You're doing little breaks every now and then, but for the most part, it's 4 hours of content. Hours.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the difference is with those kind of things is just how you interact with the people. I mean, I guess it's just the hosting of it.
You know?
How you interact, how you make it funny. Mm-hmm. And
you've written bits for other shows, right?
Yeah, I used to write for a prep service. You know the prep services.
I know the prep services.
What's that?
Prep services are basically there. You can have a morning show, and you could subscribe to a prep service, and they will write your show essentially for you.
Yeah, yeah.
And because it's radio, it doesn't matter that the same show is on in St. Louis and Miami and Seattle.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter because those people aren't going to be talking.
No.
Yeah.
So they'll read that you. So you write jokes, or you write jokes to a news story or something.
Yeah.
And they all get this service, and they just kind of grab the stuff, and they'll read it, and they'll read the jokes. So I used to write for that while I was. Before I was on the station I'm on now. I did a little bit when I got there, but before I wrote for it. And one of the best parts was when I was in Seattle, on the show that I was on before Brooke and Jubal in the Morning. One of the other hosts in town was basically reading my whole bit that I had written for the prep service.
What?
Yeah. And we got a caller that called in, and they're like laughing about it. They're like, oh, he's doing the funniest thing there. And we were recording the phone call, and I was like, tell me what he's saying. And then they were telling us, and I was finishing every single punchline for her on the phone. And she's like, how do you know that? I was like, that's because I wrote it.
Wow.
And then we aired that phone call, and that dude was so
pissed. Oh, my God.
Yeah, he got called out.
Because he's a lazy fuck and doesn't want to write his own material. Because, and that, I love that. Because was that hilarious. Was something... because we had competitive stations, and there's a ton of radio stations that do this, where they don't do any prep. They just show up, and they have a script for them that they bought.
Yeah.
And that they bought and paid for. And it's like, but just do original content.
Yeah.
Do stuff that's in your voice. So and they think they're not going to get caught. And I fucking love that. It was hilarious. And I love that.
The best part was after that, like, he went on this big thing and posted it online about, like, I was up until 2 o'clock in the morning with my wife writing those lines.
Fuck
and
how you.
I was like, no.
Then how did I know your punchlines?
Exactly.
So either A, I wrote them, or B, they're that hacky. So it's like, either way, it doesn't look good for you.
Either way, it's not good.
Yeah. That's so fucking
Are there
funny.
Certain stories that you would hear and you just go, like, yes, immediately we're talking about that. Like I've tried to open myself up to getting a little more topical with certain stories. Like Greg Giraldo used to do that all the time with certain bits where amazing. He would. I just always thought, like, oh, topical bits have a shelf life. But I'm like, no, man, there's certain stories you can find that, again, if you put your point of view on it, like, and also that's just, I think, an immediate way to speed up finding your point of view is by reading stories that, like, have universal appeal and response and, like, being like, what, like, what's your take on this, you know?
Yeah.
There's one I read recently about a McDonald's employee in Canada who smuggled, and this was about a year ago, but I just ended up finding it on some weird click, whatever, 80 pounds of McNuggets he smuggled in his anal cavity from December. Let's see.
He walked around with it?
Yeah.
Well, let's see. An employee of McDonald's restaurant in Canada was accused of stealing more than 80 pounds of chicken McNuggets from his employer, allegedly hiding them in his rectum to smuggle them out of his workplace. 31-year-old Andy Brown was arrested by the Ottawa police after cavity search revealed 4 condoms filled with frozen chicken nuggets hidden in his rectum. According to McDonald's spokesman David Nostrom,
that's not secret sauce.
Yeah.
Sorry.
He had been suspected of stealing food for some time and had already searched him on 5 occasions, but they never seemed to find anything. The store manager noticed 6 months ago that large quantities of nuggets were missing, Mr. Knox told reporters. We installed additional security cameras at various strategic locations throughout the restaurant, and we were finally able to identify the problem. We were extremely shocked when we saw him going into the freezer with handfuls of condoms and lubricant.
At our fast food place, that could happen with the condoms and lubricant.
Dude, yeah. His locker revealed a large jar of Vaseline and dozens of unused condoms.
Wow.
5 charges of petty theft and 2 charges of hilarity. No.
At least the manager's like, well, at least he's not fucking the nuggets.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what we thought he was doing.
We had to get rid of the last guy for that.
Last guy was fucking the nuggets.
He was a nugget fucker. But
nugget fucker. It's a really big subcategory on Reddit. It's not that many people are in it. But
he's going to be, dude, and he's going to go to court. He's going to appear in court on October 12th for the beginning of his trial. Dude, I want nothing more than to be a juror on trial.
It would be amazing.
How is anyone not laughing?
No, you have to be.
At some point, you just go, okay, I'm a professional, but today I am not. This episode of the About Last Night podcast is brought to you by Last Rampage, the new true crime film starring Robert Patrick, Heather Graham, and Bruce Davison.
Oh, man. Robert Patrick, he played the T-1000 in Terminator 2. He's scary as hell. And Heather Graham, she's sexy. Tell me more about this movie. I want to know.
Shut the fuck up. In 1978, convicted murderer Gary Tyson, played by Robert Patrick, escaped from an Arizona prison with the help of his 3 sons. Over the following 2 weeks, Tyson and his gang roamed the Southwest, murdering 6 people before confronting police in a bloody shootout near the Mexican border. Next to the gunfight at the OK Corral, this is the most sensational crime story in Arizona history.
Okay, that sounds utterly amazing, but I asked about Heather Graham.
Hello?
Will Heather Graham, who is Tyson's wife, struggled through the film with untiring determination to keep her family together, even in spite of her husband's murderous escape.
Wow, this sounds so cool. But is this just another one of those movies that's about a prison break or murders?
Last Rampage isn't just a movie about prison break or murders. It's a story about what it means to be family and asks the questions. Is your family first, no matter what? Where is your loyalty? Well, find out when you watch Last Rampage. In theaters September 22nd and available for on-demand pre-order August 22nd, which has already passed, so you can already get it. Find more on Twitter by following @LastRampageFilm or on Facebook.com/LastRampageFilm. And now enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. So, Brad, how's married life, buddy?
Oh, man, it's going great. I mean, she cooks, so food has never been better. The sex is amazing.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. She let me keep my sweet-ass beard.
Yeah, I was going to offer you some of my extra Dollar Shave Club razors, but I guess there's no need for that.
I know Dollar Shave Club has the best razors. I just wish they had other stuff.
Well, they do, Brad Williams. They've got literally everything you need in your bathroom. Body wash, shampoo, hair gel, lip balm. We're talking everything.
Body wash. Wow. I love me some body wash. Yeah. And it'd be nice to have that sent right to me, because at the store, there's so many confusing options.
Oh, the store sucks. There's just way too many, and you can't tell the difference between any of them. And then if you have questions, the clerk usually doesn't know the difference between any of them, and they can't help you. They're like, well, strawberry smells better than coconut, in my opinion. And the bigger bottle will get you cleaner faster. You're like, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. You're not an expert. Dollar Shave Club makes it easy and convenient for you to upgrade your shave and your bathroom. Now, you don't have to step foot in the store to get high-quality shave and grooming products, because they'll deliver them right to your door, even your doggy door, Brad.
I am an adult, and I use a regular door.
I did not know that, and my bad. But just like their razors, and like Brad, everything is super high quality, and it leaves you looking and feeling amazing. Dude, I shave once, twice, sometimes three times a day, because I'm a hairy Jew bastard, and these sophisticated items and scents make me feel like $1 million. Dollar Shave Club is changing the game. So if you're like me and you're like Brad and you're sick of the nonsense at the store, now is the time to try out Dollar Shave Club. For a limited time, Dollar Shave Club is basically giving away their starter set to new members. For only $5, this starter set features their executive razor, which I take with me on the road. If I forget it, I just don't shave because I love it that much. And their 3 trial-sized versions of their most popular products that can help you stay fresh and clean.
Products, Adam?
Well, I'll tell you. Shut the fuck up. In your first box, you will receive their shave butter, their body wash, and 1 wipe Charlie's butt wipes.
I've used these, and I'm not ashamed to say they are delightful.
They really are. I didn't realize how great having a clean butt could be, but it actually is a game changer and a day changer. You'll also receive their executive razor, which includes their premium weighty handle and full cassette of cartridges. After the first box replacement, cartridges are sent for only a few bucks a month. Only a few bucks a month for extra cartridges. This offer is exclusively available at dollarshaveclub.com/ALN. Right now, dollarshaveclub.com/ALN to get everything we just mentioned. That's dollarshaveclub.com/ALN. One more time. Giving away the starter set to new members. $5. That's all it takes. You get the executive razor and 3 trial size versions of their most popular products that help you stay fresh and clean. In the first box, you also receive shave butter, body wash, and the 1 wipe Charlie's butt wipes.
Yes!
Brad, how much do you love those butt wipes?
I love these butt wipes.
You also get their executive razor, which includes premium weighty handle and full cassette of cartridges. A full cassette of cartridges. And after the cartridges are done, only a few bucks a month to get new ones sent. All right? DollarShaveClub.com/ALN. Do it right now. High quality products that will have you covered from face cheeks to butt cheeks. And there's no better time to try. All right? DollarShaveClub.com/ALN. Do it.
There you go, Adam.
Yeah.
I'm going to do an impression of that guy's father. And you ask me...
By the way, let me just quickly show you what he looks like.
Okay, of course. Okay, so I can get
picturing something in my mind. And...
Yeah, that's pretty much how I...
Yeah.
By the way,
31-year-old Andy Brown.
That's like a full, not to do a dated wrestling reference, but a ravishing Rich Rude mullet. That was solid.
That is a big mullet.
So, who am I? You are someone at a dinner party.
Great.
Ask me how my son's doing.
Great. So you're the father of Andy Brown.
I'm his dad.
Okay. Now, I expect some sort of voice based on the picture of the son you just saw.
Yeah.
Because if you're the father of the man who tried to smuggle 80 pounds of McNuggets in his asshole.
Doesn't sound like this. Doesn't sound like this.
By the way, first of all.
Yeah. And was that something he passed down? You know, I have a lot of questions for the dad.
Yeah.
Like, where did he learn this trick? Were you the one that instigated the fucking heist? Were you like, son, I love McNuggets. You know I can't afford it.
Get this job.
Hey, man, it's good to see you at the Daytona 500 kegger we throw every year.
Oh, man, I got to be honest, Rick, these are my favorite parties, you know.
They are. They really are.
And I'm really pumped that Dan can make it. Dan.
Hey, yeah, I'm having a good time.
Dude, you always have a good time, man.
I can't help it.
That's right, Dan.
You love barbecues.
Now, Dan, your son is doing what now? He's doing what?
Well, my son is working at McDonald's, right?
Oh, that's good.
Oh, shit.
That's a good place.
That's a good place. Rick, your son worked at McDonald's for a while, didn't he?
My son's dead. He died in a freak toilet bowl accident where he just got sucked right there in the pipes. We don't need to talk about that. We didn't talk about him anymore.
Well, but I thought he's working at McDonald's.
No, he died. Just straight died. Never heard from him again. No note, no nothing.
Well, I thought I saw him the other day when I was in there.
Yeah, me too. He looked like he was real busy. It was like a real busy. I mean, there was no customers, but he was really rummaging in the back, like really.
Oh, I mean, maybe you know, maybe it really hurts us all that Dan is gone. So
tell me there was another boy in there with a mullet like your son's. Yeah, I saw a mullet running around.
And Dan is Dan's son. Well, Andy's your son.
Yeah, that's right. I was. Hoping Dan was my son.
Well, no. I get that. Dan's a good kid, you know, and he always has been, and, you know, he's got a bright future at McDonald's.
Yeah, he
works at the other McDonald's. Your son, I saw him in the back. It was in the freezer for a little while.
That's where the toilet was that sucked him in.
They got a toilet in the back.
They put the toilet in the freezer, and he was in it, sucked him right out. Just sucked him right out of there, and he's dead, and never heard from again.
Man, that's that global warming, you know.
It gets hot, so you gotta put a toilet in the freezer.
Put a toilet in the freezer. That's how you solve that problem there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, those McNuggets, though, you hear they had they lost a bunch of McNuggets.
Yeah, you know what?
On the same day, actually, that toilet explosion went down.
They probably just sucked them right out with, like, there were probably other McNuggets in the freezer, and they probably, like, sucked them all out. Like, it was like a wormhole to another dimension, man. Like, it just, like all went in there. Like, I'm talking, like, Jenna Jameson could not suck that hard. It was crazy.
Rick?
Yeah?
Cut the shit, man. We saw the article.
Yeah, I don't know where he got that from.
80 pounds? Look, I ain't mad. All I'm saying is, did he bring them home?
Yeah.
And do you have McNuggets ready at this barbecue? I don't care if they were hidden in his goddamn penis hole, man. I'm hungry.
Man, that cooked just right.
You cook
98
them just,
point whatever degree.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, whatever McNugget straight out of the penis hole degree is to make
it. You guys are the best friends a guy could ever have.
You think I'm going to judge you at your own barbecue, man? You could tell me you hit a fucking quarter ounce steak and... in a fucking pussy lip, and I'll be like, is it ready?
Bless you, son.
Your wife came over here and dropped a steak on this table. I'm eating it.
That's your wife.
Oh my God, what a great sentence. By the way, those people exist.
Yes,
they do. Absolutely.
I mean, you know what? And they're sitting around being like, you know what, dude? It's like, here's what I'll say. If Barack Obama was still president, you know, your son wouldn't even have gotten to those McNuggets. He wouldn't even have had the opportunity to put them in his asshole because of Obamacare, you know, trying to get in the way of McNugget asshole smuggles.
McNugget asshole smuggles sounds like the worst name for a Cabbage Patch Kid. Which one did you get, McNugget asshole smuggles? What?
Which one is that?
Hugs you way too tight.
Oh.
Way too tight.
Oh.
Now, now, see, that would be an example of some sort of bit. Now, have you had, like, radio program directors that have, like, have you gotten trouble with them? Have you gone too far?
Yeah, at what point do you get cognizant of, like, what I can and can't say? You know, like, because sometimes I have to remind myself when I get on, especially how early it is. I'm like, dude, it's 6:30, like, and not that I'm up usually dropping F-bombs at 6:30 anywhere else, but, like, once you start to get into the comedic role of just whatever, you sometimes could naturally let one slip. So, I mean, was there a time that it turned for you?
It's weird because I cuss a lot normally, like in my everyday conversations. I swear all the time. But when I'm on the air, it's like a switch gets flipped and I just don't. I have a couple of times. Well, like one time was really bad. And my co-host was talking about something that she says a lot. I can't even remember what she was talking about.
Yeah.
But I was just like, fuck, I know. And I was like, oh shit.
You just didn't agree so hard.
And you guys have a dump button?
Yeah.
It's what, a 30 second delay? Yeah, what is it?
15 or 30?
Yeah, it's like 15.
Yeah, so it like it just and
it just clips everything out.
It's a little bit easier now with digital.
Yeah.
Because back in the day that was just on air. And
you
had no shot. Yeah. But yeah, now it's like what you're hearing on your radios is about 30 to 45 seconds
delayed. So if you're ever listening to the radio and it's just like clips all of a sudden and they're picking up on like another end of a conversation, you're like, where'd the middle of that go? It's probably because somebody cussed.
And then it usually comes back with all the hosts going, whoa!
Yeah.
You can't say that on the air. Yeah, it's weird how it's not a thing where it's like, this fucking God. Like, yeah. it was literally just you going, oh, fuck.
Yeah, exactly.
Like just getting lost in the conversation and totally forgetting there's a microphone there.
On the show I used to work on, we did do one thing. We called it radio skydiving. It was a dumb name for it. But where you would cuss and then dump it on purpose, which did nothing for the audience, but it was really fun in studio.
Oh, yeah, sure. For you guys.
Yeah, we heard what was going on, but yeah. I guarantee the audience didn't hear anything. Yeah, everything was like, dumped
We're one mistake away from being fired.
Yeah. And so they're like, oh, they were like daring me one day to do it. You know, they're like, I dare you to cuss so we can hit the dump button or whatever. And I'm like, okay.
You're like, fuck you.
Yeah. No, I was like, cunt.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
And then all of them were shocked that I did it. And then like it took the host like way too long to hit the dump button. And he finally hit it. And I was like, I'm going to be fired. Because like they were daring me to do it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm an idiot. I'll pretty much do anything anybody dares me. So I'm like, okay, fine, let's do it.
Wow. Yeah.
And then I did it. And then they were like, oh, we didn't expect you to actually do it. Well, and then after
don't
that,
ask me to.
Yeah. Well, don't like pressure me into it.
Have you always been like that too? A very just like, I don't know, like even as a kid, were you that kid that was like, you know, like Jubal do that? I bet Jubal will do it.
Like, yeah, pretty much. It was like whatever. I'll do.
Like anything. What? What was it like? I'm trying to think of like a stereotypical thing that's like nobody will do. Like nobody put a firecracker. Like my buddy and I, when we were neighbors in sixth grade, we put a bunch of fireworks and we put a bag of like all the worst foods in like a Ziploc.
Yeah.
Like I don't know, pickles and fucking McNugget assholes and just potato salad and whatever.
Stolen from my son.
Yeah. We put it in a Ziploc in our friend's mailbox with a bunch of like with two M80s.
Oh shit!
And like and blew up
their
mailbox.
That must have been amazing.
It was. I'll never forget it.
Yeah.
Because it was like literally the food, the way that the shit like shot up in the air. First of all, the mailbox just blew right off. But then the bag, it's almost like it opened and then like did like almost like a guy was like, food for everyone. And it just was up in the air and it was in slow mo. And we were like, it's like, dude, it was unbelievable.
That must be an amazing memory. I can't think of anything really crazy that people dared me to do when I was a kid. Really, I can't.
But
really.
I mean, like, is there a bit where... has someone brought it up for you guys to do on the radio show and you're like, we can't do
that? Yeah.
Not really. Because I try to find a way to do things, you know? Yeah. Like, even if it's something that's bad and you have to figure out how to tone it down.
Yeah. Have you had those meetings where, like, the program director calls you in and goes, all right, you can't have a lottery to lose your virginity contest?
Not really. Not in a long time.
Good.
I used to push the envelope a lot more than I do now.
Mm-hmm.
Like now I just try to be funny, you know, but before, like when I first got into radio, I was just like, I'm just going to be as crass as possible.
Yeah.
You know? And, when I first started, like at the station I was at, I did have to have a meeting cause I kept calling the program director a vagina all the time. And he was like, you can't call me a vagina on the air. We don't try to say that word on the air at all. I'm like, I'm sorry, man. I'm just joking around.
And that's the weirdest part about radio rules. That just, it's insane to me. It's like, you can say vagina.
You can, yeah.
But you can't say it too often.
Exactly.
Or you can't refer to it in a sexual manner.
You can't describe what you want to do
to a vagina.
To a vagina. But
yes.
You can call somebody a vagina. You can say pussy.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I can call you a pussy,
yeah,
but
you're
I can't
being
say
a pussy.
Like her pussy.
Yeah, and you can say you're being a dick.
Yeah,
but you can't say you got a small dick.
Exactly.
It's
weird.
Wow.
Yeah.
You can't say you're being a man with a tiny penis.
Oh no, you can say you're being a dick.
You can say that.
Yeah. Oh, right. You can say that, but you can't. But you can't say look at his dick.
Yeah.
Oh.
Can't say that.
So you can't.
Same word.
Yeah. Just like what we're saying, pussy. Like you can say. You can call somebody that.
What about if there's a guy and his son's name is Richard, and there's like a guy and his son's in there, and his son's like,
look at his
doing,
dick.
His son is like juggling, and he's like, look at his dick, you know?
Yeah. He's juggling.
His dick is juggling.
Yeah.
Look at his juggling dick.
His dick is dropping things. Like,
I think you can do that.
If I was doing a morning show, I may bring someone in and just that's my reference. So just I can do that at random points. Like, now look at what his dick is doing.
His dick is all over the studio. What's going on?
Oh, his dick just spit up.
Oh, his dick is dirty. Yeah. Has anybody washed his dick?
Yeah,
I don't think so.
Wash his dick every now and then.
This guy's dick smells really bad.
And that's
that dick is never getting any pussy
stuff.
If he smells like that.
I meant dick as genitalia.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the kind of stuff where you can go, like, you can literally just go around it, and then you just sit there with the lawyer and go, listen. His name is Richard.
Mm-hmm. If you ever get a complaint, yeah, his name
that's
is Richard.
His dick.
Call him Dick. This is his dick.
Yeah.
It works.
What do you like to do for fun? Because I feel like you're a workaholic.
Yeah, I work too much, I think.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure that out.
Yeah.
Actually. trying to figure out what I do for fun.
Because, I mean, your schedule, I mean, how many, so when you go back to Seattle, it'll be 2 weeks out of the month?
It's about 2 weeks out of the month now.
And sporadically, or like there'll be a 2 week break where you'll go back?
It's sporadic right now because I have a lot of stuff that I'm doing in LA, so I need to be in LA for that. And then it's like, okay, now I have 4 or 5 days where I need to be in Seattle to record videos or do whatever. And I have shows in the Northwest all the time.
Yeah.
So I have to be up there for comedy shows or traveling wherever else I'm going, you know? So it's like.
Are you loving doing stand up?
Yeah. I mean, that's your first love.
Yeah,
exactly. So, awesome. Like I said, I started them both at the same time. My goal was, when I got into radio, to get syndicated so that I could tour, do a stand-up. So, I mean, I'm kind of like doing that.
Fuck yeah,
dude. Yeah, man. Because, I guess for the stand-up radio combo, you look at guys like Jim Norton and Artie Lang. And,
right.
There's a way to use both. I mean, they're kind of, what's the word? Not synergies.
We're just looking at Adam doing finger motions.
Synonymous.
Yeah.
Synonymous. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a way to do it where you can make both of them work. It's tough though sometimes.
Well, I mean, and Norton has the luxury, kind of like you being syndicated, where he's on everywhere.
Right.
So every day he's on, whoever has Sirius can hear him.
Yeah.
Exactly. Are there certain cities you're getting to go to that you are just pumped, that you've never been to, or because you were doing most of the shows in Seattle when you were just there, right?
Yeah.
And you're just kind of like killing the, just like making
Seattle,
rounds
Portland,
at the best clubs.
Like, yeah, exactly. Tour there, theaters, whatever.
Because it's, I mean, I can just speak to this for myself, but like the moment I started like going headlining, going to other places, and it was like, oh fuck yeah! Like thank God I'm funny.
Yeah,
you know, because to the first time you do like a place outside of, I don't know, your comfort zone, more or less, right?
Yeah, because it's the same thing like you're talking about. People go like, well, how do you play to an audience over here? If you know you've been in wherever you're at, wherever you started comedy, like how do you know how you're gonna play in Indiana?
Yeah,
and you go in there, you're like, I killed it. It was great.
Yeah.
I think West Palm was the best weekend. Like, I mean,
dope.
It was scary for me at first because it was my first time in that club. The club is huge.
Big room. It's like
it's like 500,
yeah,
something,
dude,
like that.
Yeah.
You know? And whoever was hosting there that weekend, there was all like these old people coming in. And I'm like, damn it. Because like, I don't do well with like the older audiences. Like, I know that's not really my strong suit. But they're like the coolest old people that come to those shows. Like, they loved every, like, and then
awesome.
You know, like, they're like not like, like the whole audience isn't old, but like just for me, that makes me nervous when I see like a lot of really old people. I'm like, shit, they're gonna hate.
Because you don't know, you don't know if it's gonna be like sweet grandma or that guy that's like, I've seen and done more shit than you'll ever.
And
do.
That's what I got that weekend.
Yeah,
it was amazing. But yeah, that was probably one of the best weekends that I've had on the road.
And how are you? What are you?
San Antonio was dope too.
Are you doing a lot of? Like, how much are you writing new stuff, and what are you talking about, like, right now? Like, just for people that are coming to see you.
I mean, I had to get a whole new hour. Like, and it's not, you know, I've heard you guys talk about, like, everybody's working on a new hour now. But I had to get a whole new hour because it was burned in the Northwest because I'd basically only been able, before syndication, to do shows there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then when I was, like, could get out to, you know, come home here to just get up for, like, 10 minutes at the store or whatever. But everybody's seen that act for like 2 years now in the Northwest. So I had to write. So I wrote like a whole hour pretty quickly.
Dope.
And it's still like, I'm still tweaking it. But
of course,
a lot of it's like personal stuff, like, you know, stories, a lot, like some relationship stuff.
Do you like
some
to
topical stuff?
Do you like to write out on stage a lot, or you just kind of have bullet points of stuff you want to hit? And then,
I mean, I'll write everything and then I'll forget most of it when I'm up there. So then
it's
write
a guideline.
On stage. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but then at the same time, with like, and I know, and Adam, you could probably attest to this. We've written bits on the podcast just because you're talking so much. You're creating so much content that I'm sure just doing morning radio, you probably have a line about a story or a take, and you go, oh wait, hold shit, and then
you
write stuff down.
Well, one of my favorite bits that I do right now is the comparison between hip hop and country music, and that stems from something that we talked about on the radio because we read this study about country music or about music in general. The music with the most drug, alcohol, sex references, right? Number one is country music.
Yeah. No way.
Everybody thinks it would be hip hop, but hip hop is eighth.
Because
eighth.
Wow.
Wait, so that has the most sex,
drugs, violence references.
Every song in country is either my wife cheated, or
so I killed her with my meth pipe.
Exactly. Yeah. So I stabbed her with a meth pipe.
Coming up on 92.5, Garth Brooks is, of course, everyone's favorite single. She cheated on me, so I killed her with my meth.
Stabbed my wife with a meth pipe.
About to get a meth pipe up the butt.
Crack ain't the only thing going up my nose. It's going to be the thing on your skull.
Oh, nice. Nose and skull.
Nose and skull. Right. Yeah, you know what? Yeah. But of course, it's all going out, getting drunk, having sex. Like, that's all.
Like that.
That's all country music is.
Carrie Underwood song from years ago. Literally property damage, destroying this guy's truck.
That was crazy. That was like the fucking angry white drunk chick anthem.
Yeah,
every karaoke night.
But also, but like
that's moms and stuff for their kids are like, oh, this is so fun.
Oh, Carrie Underwood. That's just Carrie being Carrie.
Look, she's just so sweet.
She's so sweet. You see on the Idol show, she's up there, and you know, good for her because a lot of girls don't have the courage to sing about
she's
that
taking
stuff.
Taking a golf club and destroying.
You know how many
car.
Times I've wanted to ruin Travis's truck? Because you know I think he's cheating on me, but he's got. Well, look, there's. I've been fucking this McNugget smuggler, but yeah, there is
because you get sex and a snack.
And a snack after, yeah, exactly.
There is though this like overtone the country music has where it just like it's something about like a banjo or like a light set of strings that like makes you go, oh, you forget about the violent
it.
Undertone. It softens it.
Yeah.
Rap is just, or hip hop is so hardcore that it's like
I'm gonna shoot you.
Yeah, and you're like, all right,
okay, I mean, I know what they're saying.
Yeah, the Dixie Chicks had that song Goodbye Earl.
Yeah,
that
where they
like,
talking about kill this dude.
Yeah, it's like, oh, because,
Earl has to die.
Yeah, it was a song about, like, the guy was abusing one of the girls, and then, like, well, we're fucking killing him.
Yeah.
And that's, like, the most hardcore shit.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, on both sides, like, the guy's hitting her, and they're killing him. It's like.
All terrible.
Yeah.
Like, all around. And the hip-hop like is catchy ass song. So it's like, well, Earl, I mean, has to die, John, die, or whatever.
What?
We pull it up, Brad? Yeah, I will. Okay.
So hip-hop is number 8?
8. Yeah.
That's, what is 4 through 7?
I know. I can't even think of like 7 right, well, styles of music.
Raffy did have that one song where it's like, down by the bay where the watermelons grow. You should dare not go, for if you do, I'll take my 45 and shoot it in the mouth. Yeah, if you,
yeah. I remember that one.
And down by the bay. Yeah. Wait, what was.
So, I'm trying to remember all
yeah.
of them. So, before rap music was folk music. Folk music was.
Folk music?
7.
No way.
Rap is 8. Folk music was 7.
Like James Taylor stuff?
I guess. Like Joni Mitchell, James Taylor.
Yeah.
You know, that was 7. And then 4th on the list was electronic music. I know that.
Okay.
And I'm trying to remember the other ones, but...
maybe some... I mean, not 80s pop. Like,
no, I don't
there's know. No Hall & Oates song. I guess Maneater. That's
fuck you up.
Maneater, that's
kind of... Polka? Yeah.
Cannibalism song.
Cannibal.
She's gone. Definitely murdered her.
Yeah. Murder.
You just got to read into
Your
it.
Your Kiss
you know?
Is on my list. I mean, that's fucking just like Steve Buscemi from Billy Madison.
Exactly.
Just crossing names. Yeah.
What? Fucking Earl.
Okay.
Fuck Earl.
But again, like, what a sweet voice.
Right?
Nothing bad's coming from this set of pipes.
That's not a murderer singing that, right?
Okay.
Oh no! Okay, so
that's bad. Here comes the abuse, and like it, and like the, yeah, makeup to cover bruises, and in the video, like she's like being shoved down by this guy that looks like, well, a Dateline suspect.
This sounds like a road trip song in like a Britney Spears Lifetime comedy.
They're all in a car, hanging out, letting the wind blow in their hair.
Yeah, like,
here it goes.
Is this the chorus?
Holy shit!
So the friends are flying in to kill this guy.
Yeah.
Oh my God. What the fuck?
Here it goes.
This is how happy that is.
Oh my God.
Don't you feel so good? Goodbye.
Earl. Dude, when you put na 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 na's behind a death chorus.
Yeah.
Oh, so, yeah, they poison him.
So they poison Earl.
Na, 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 na.
Wow. And, like, it's so happy and so just like, we poisoned your husband because he beat you up and put you in the hospital.
You know what? There's a brilliance behind that to
there
take
is.
Something that, and, you know, I guess, wow.
It's like a good comic that can take, like, rape and make it funny.
Totally.
That's what they're doing.
Yeah.
They're taking killing
abuse
a dude
and making it tap your foot to it.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I tell you what, that song about abusing women and killing killing that asshole.
Loved it. I loved it.
But see, now here's my question.
Makes me think of home.
Well, do people hear that and they like see? And I say this all the time. I'm not a lyric guy. Like I listen, I get into a song because I'm like, this is catchy. Yeah. I love the melody.
And I do the same thing. My music tastes aren't that deep.
Yeah. So like, I would never even know that that's what that song was about because I would just hear like, you know, maybe there's some sort of condition that that's called, but we don't actually listen.
No, but I just think it sounds so nice that they're like, oh, who cares? It's just a nice anthem about domestic violence and killing a guy.
Wow. Good for them.
Yeah.
Dude, it's amazing to me that you have found success in two different careers, because normally it's either like a comic that tries to do radio and half-asses it, or it's a radio show host
that tries to do
stand-up and
it's terrible.
That's awful.
And that's been tough for me as in the radio world. Is because I think I'm a pretty good comic, you know, like I would never say like
you are
amazing, but I think I'm a pretty good comic. I go out to shows, I write material, I work hard on it, you know, but you get a lot of radio guys that want to do comedy because they think they're funny. They're funny on the air. Maybe they are, but radio funny is a little different than stand up.
Totally,
you know, and so they'll just think that they have these great personalities, and they're going to go get on stage, and they're just going to kill it, and then they're either really hacky or really bad or whatever. And a lot of times for me, that's tough because in the comedy world in general, you know, people are like, "Oh, he's just a radio dude trying to do comedy." It's like, no, I started both at the same time.
Yeah,
and I work probably harder on my comedy than I do my radio, honestly, because I write so much and I work on because I want to be respected. So it's like, I don't want to be out there and like doing really hacky material and have people going like, ah, see, he's just a radio dude.
Because we've all been in those situations where like the local radio guy tries to go up and do 5 minutes and it's,
The biggest compliment that I get is when I do interview comics. Like Adam's been on the show before. Have you been?
Yeah, I have not been on yet, but
you got it next time you go up.
I will be up there in January. I'll be up in Seattle.
Okay, nice. Next time you got to come in. Mm-hmm. But the biggest compliment I have is when comics come in and then they do an interview. They might not know me. They might know me, but most of the time, they maybe not, you know? And then they'll be like, oh, that was really refreshing. Because I know,
dude, I will attest that and double down on that compliment, because it was like, I mean, I think the first time I met you was through stand up, and when I knew you, you know, from the show, and I was just like, oh shit, like I was just very impressed, because I was like, you know, I think I went in with expectations of like what we just talked about, like a radio guy doing stand up, and then I was like, oh, I'm watching a comic right now.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Dude. Yeah,
and it is, you guys, you have a conversational, also just like a comic, like knowing when to step in and like. Yes, and to a bit, and then also when to like you were so good at also like shifting to being like, okay, cool, now let me get in like the plugs, but let me get in a few questions about shit that you're doing, and it was like you've done enough research and enough to, but also allowing for enough funny to happen and let that be first.
And that's the problem with a lot of radio guys, especially morning radio guys, when interviewing comics, because I've actually had, I mean, I've been on the road before and I've had to go do an interview,
right?
And most of the time they know that I'm a radio guy. So they'll talk to me a lot about radio, but still, if you're trying to be funny, like if you get comics in with like a lot of really normal morning radio shows, they'll try to out funny you, and it's like, dude, stop. Just relax. Like I'm trying to promote my show here, and I'm on your show, and after I'm gone you can get back to being the star.
Yeah.
But right now, can I just be funny, please?
Yeah. Like,
they'll talk over you. I'm sure you guys deal with way more than
I'm here for 20 minutes max.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
Yeah.
There's one thing I want to mention before we wrap up, but Brad put down here, you guys share a hatred for camping, and I just want to really quickly hear both of your...
All right.
I did not know this about you, Brad.
I hate camping.
Fuck camping.
All right, good. All right, you not... Yeah.
And look, I'm not here. I'm not the like devil's advocate being like, well, just come outside with me. It's all about the people you're with.
No, because I've fucking tried it. And
I've done it with some of my best friends, and I hated every minute of it.
My whole thing is I work really hard to make money, and I don't want to pretend I'm poor for a weekend.
Yeah, that's pretty much how I feel too.
I don't want to, what, sleep on the ground? No.
Why?
Why? Yeah.
Because when you wake up, nature's right there.
Okay, it's right outside the hotel. Yeah. I can have a threat count.
I can be at a hotel across the street.
Yeah, I can have running water where I can go take a shit and not have to worry about a bear clawing me over.
Dude, that to me is the biggest, like bathroom bear scares. Like, I don't want...
like walking out in the middle of the night having to take a pee when you can't see by a tree where you're like, there's all kinds of wildlife out here.
And then all of a sudden you like throw down your flashlight or your phone or whatever. You're like, oh, there's a centipede on my dick.
Yep.
Which is, I think, a country song that the Dixie Chicks released right after that. Like,
I feel like I've evolved enough as a human where I don't need to be taking a shit on the ground and then burying a hole and covering it up.
Dude, yeah.
Like,
or having to say the sentence, Do you guys bring any more teepee?
Yeah.
Or no. Yeah, it's next to the beef jerky, but it's all gone.
Yeah.
The beef jerky? No, the teepee.
What?
Which cooler?
You use a leaf.
Yeah. Magic.
Wipe with the jerky.
Yeah, and then somebody gets frustrated that there's even a conversation about it because they're like, dude, this is what I'm talking about. This is why you just got to fucking open up your heart and your mind and go, look, nature. Let nature tell you what to do. And you're like, those sentences don't make fucking sense, Travis.
Yeah. You want to know what you never hear at the Hilton Garden Inn? The bear ate all our food.
Yeah. Or we can't get you that.
Yeah.
We're out of toilet paper, like, use a leaf.
Yeah.
No.
I'm not, you read the pamphlet, the this is Hilton Garden Inn, and leaf shit.
Yeah.
Or also, like, if you go camping with a girlfriend, I mean, it can be fun if you enjoy being with your girlfriend. Yes. What I'm saying is, like, trying to have sex or something, camping, I hear people that love camping going, like, it's amazing because you're out in nature. And it's like, that is sweaty, gross, hot, smelly,
and by the way,
disgusting.
You're having sex on the ground.
Yeah,
no. Not on a mattress that gives you a little pushback.
Yeah,
yeah, a little help.
It hurts.
Yeah, it hurts.
Your knees hurt.
Speaking of hurting, and as we wrap up, I will be playing at the end of this episode your rap song that you came out with. You, give us a quick, just like, the chorus again is,
treat the pussy like a rental car.
Yes.
I'm intrigued.
Where did that come from? Where did you record it? And we'll play it at the end of the episode.
Okay. Well, it came from that bit I was just talking about, where I talk about country music and rap music and all the references and stuff. But then I go in to talk more about hip hop and rap music in that bit. And then I get to the point where I'm just like, you know, now rap music is all just about, how can you disrespect the pussy the most? Like, every song is like, I'm gonna beat it up, I'm gonna smash it, I'm gonna,
whatever. Kill it.
Yeah, exactly.
Crush it.
I'm gonna kill Earl, then I'm gonna kill it.
Exactly. I'm gonna put some dynamite in there.
Oh my god, who said that?
Excavate that pussy.
Was that fucking Wile E. Coyote?
I think it was Migos.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have no idea. But
spelunk that pussy.
Yeah, exactly.
Top 10 hit. Yeah, top 10 hit. Spelunk that pussy.
Throw some bug bombs in it. And fumigate your pussy. Like, it's just there's so
that
many.
That one got red.
Fumigate your pussy.
There's so many different descriptors. Yeah. Like, how are you gonna destroy pussy? So I was like, I was actually in a rental car on the road, and I was driving, and I spilled like my Red Bull on the seat, and I was like, fuck, it's a rental car. And then I was listening to rap at the time too. I think I was listening to like that song Fight Night.
Yeah,
I'm gonna beat the pussy up like Fight Night.
Yeah,
and I was like, I wonder, that'd be funny if I was to like just say that I treated the pussy like a rental car. You destroy the rental car.
As long as you got that insurance, you're good.
Exactly.
It's hilarious and incredibly well produced.
Oh, thanks.
That's like the biggest thing with comedy music songs. It's like, does it sound like a real song? Great. Good. Then I'm in. How does your lady, like, when she hears you do that, does she go,
is this something you've been thinking about? She knows.
Yeah.
She's like, is that what the Red Bull was for last night?
Yeah. Dude, this hour and change flew by way too fast.
Yeah,
you have to come back on.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for having me on.
Dude, the best.
Yes. Finally got it done. We've been trying to
link up. I know, dude. But you know, man, it's, and I always, like, sometimes I hate when schedules get a little too crossed, but it's always, like we even said last time, we were going to have to rush it, and it's I like not doing that.
Time.
It's like,
take your time. So look you up. You're on Twitter at?
At Jubal Flagg, JubalFlagg, on everything.
And if hopefully you're in a market where your show is.
Yeah.
If not, they could probably listen on the radio, right?
Yeah, listen on the radio, online.
Online, yeah. And then
do you guys podcast it?
We do, yeah.
Fuck yeah.
So I think it's brookandjubalradio.com is the radio show website. My own website, if I can give that out.
Yes.
It's teamjubal.com. That's where you can see all the radio markets.
And all your tour dates and everything.
Yeah,
What if I was like, nah, dude, that's the one thing we don't do here.
Yeah, don't plug
your website.
Plug anything.
By the way, last night at the store, I met a dude in a tank top, and I was giving him shit. He looked like the guy, the character that Jennifer Aniston ended up fucking in Wanderlust. Remember?
That asshole.
Justin Throw, her now husband.
Yeah.
Ponytail, goatee. Looked exactly like him. And I'm talking about his tank top, and I go, how many tank tops do you have? And he goes, all of them. And I go, dude, what a great answer. Yeah. I go, so basically you see a tank top somewhere and go, that'll be in my closet soon. I go, if you see a tank, assume I own it.
Yeah.
And he goes, pretty much. And then a little bit more, I go, what do you do for work? He goes, wood sculpt. And I go, of course you do.
Of course he does.
And then I go, where are you from? And he goes, North Carolina. I go, hell, I go, first impressions LA. He goes, it's dirty. And then everyone goes, boo. And I look at him, I go, dude, we will collectively pull together a bus money to send you the fuck out of here tonight if you don't change your attitude. And then he goes, wood sculpting. I go, well, cool. I go, what's your website? I'll give you a little plug. He goes, nah, man. I go,
No.
I go, you're the most combative wood sculptor I've ever met. And then he goes, nah. He goes, business is too. He goes, business is fine. I don't need any extra plugs.
Oh, shit.
And I go, dude. And then I just pause and I go,
fuck you, man. I didn't know what to say, and it got such a big laugh. And then I just like, and then I was like, you're like the fat kid in the Trix commercials. It's like, sorry, rabbit, Trix are for kids. Yeah. Like, you're like, yeah. Sorry, Jew, wood sculpting websites are for me.
Yeah.
You don't need to know about
what
this.
Do you like? Who? Like, and then I go, and I had to hold back
Pepsi
from being like,
advertises.
I go, yeah. I find it hard to believe that big, wood sculpting right? is so profitable right now yeah. that you're like, too much advertising. Like, yeah. what?
How do you get that cocky as a wood sculptor?
Dude.
I don't want anyone to know me too much.
And sometimes you respect the mojo of an odd profession like that, but yeah. I was just like, nah, dude. I was, you know, I loved you for the tank top life, and now I hate you for the wood sculpting ego.
So, yeah. So what you're saying is, if go find a wood sculpture and just burn it.
Yeah, yeah. That's what we're wood sculpture today.
That's what we're trying to say, and hopefully it's one of his. If it's not, well, that's some collateral damage we're willing to take.
Yeah,
so it's fine.
And go Hawks, by the way.
Yeah, go Hawks.
And go Broncos.
Brad, we got room for you on the bandwagon, I've told you.
Yeah, go Broncos.
There's a big bandwagon for
this.
There is.
This year's, we're bound. We're Super Bowl bound.
Yeah, we got Broncos. Yeah. We just signed Brock Osweiler back.
Oh, nice. That's good.
Back. We got him back from the Browns.
Oh, that'll
be good.
That'll be good for
fruitful.
Yeah, that'll be everyone's talking about the year of the Oz, aren't they?
I'm a dwarf. That's like part munchkin. I have to support Oz.
No choice.
Good night, everybody.
So that's the show. Thanks for tuning in. We had laughs and stories. Now go listen to more episodes on iTunes or your phone. Subscribe and tell your family and everyone you know.
But what should I tell them? Well, you can just tell them that
Brad Williams and Adam Ray can help you get through the fucking day.
Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.